People, I gotta tell you about a little something we're calling the THC Money Bomb. The way it works is I'm gonna pool up all the donations I get before episode 85, and I'm gonna give half back to one of you listeners. So if you can, consider donating 5 or 10 bucks to THC. You'll be supporting a show you love, and know that half your donation is gonna go to some random, fairly like-minded individual. Hell, it might even be you. The more people we get involved, the bigger impact we can collectively have. I'm really sort of tired of just talking about community and helping people, and I would rather just do it. So if you're with me, go to thehiresidechats.com/donate. And to keep things kosher, I must also add that you can get into the pool without a donation. If $5 is too much, just send me a letter with your info to Greg Carlwood, P.O. Box 635223, San Diego, California, 92163. So there it is. And if you've donated already, thanks so much. Keep an eye on your PayPal account. I might just blow it up. That's the THC Money Bomb. Boom.
In the 1930s, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt addressed the nation through a series of radio broadcasts known as the Fireside Chats. His aim was to reassure the common man that our society would recover from its troubled times. But we're far from 1930, and I deal with a different kind of fire. For a new era of worldly frustration, we offer a fresh conversation. I'm Greg Carlwood, and these are the Higher Side Chats.
How's it going, Higher Side Chatters? Drinking a little drink and smoking a little smoke. In San Diego, I'm Greg Carlwood. I hope you're doing well. I hope the commitments of the holidays aren't overwhelming your already cramped schedule. I hope you're not getting sucked into the madness, forced to express your feelings with cheap plastic bullshit and electronics mined by slave children. It's a balancing act, I know. I've packed so many obligations into the next few weeks that some days I just want to walk away from it all. But I can't do that. This train's got to keep moving. The Higher Side Chats audience has been great this week. A few episodes ago, I asked for some iTunes reviews, and now we have almost double what we had before. More people are finding the show, and I thank everyone who took a second to do that. That's awesome. We're entering the final days of the THC Money Bomb. I'm going to have a winner on the next episode. Hopefully they'll talk to me for a minute or two. That's exciting. Thanks for all the donations. I got some great guests booked in the next 2 months. I'm really happy with how things are going. Thanks everyone for pushing the Higher Side Chats along. We're getting some serious clout. I appreciate it. Our goddamn guests appreciate it. It's very valuable. So I guess I'm going to provide this week's higher education because no one's around to do it for me. Sometimes I think we should just drop this segment. It is a lot of work, but here we go. Tila Tequila, the former reality television star, said that Paul Walker's murder was ritualistic and was just like the murder of Elisa Lam, a 21-year-old Canadian woman who was found dead in the rooftop water tank in the Cecil Hotel in LA earlier this year. If you haven't heard that story, look that up. But Tila said, "I know who killed Elisa. I believe I'm the only person on this entire planet who knows what happened. I knew it the first time news of the strange video started circulating the internet weeks ago. I've just kept my mouth shut because there's a lot more to it. And of course, with cases like this, I just did not want to draw any attention to myself, but I know exactly why they did it. And yes, it was indeed a ritualistic murder. Just like Paul Walker's. What? However, for Elisa's case, I have so much detail that it might blow your mind. I know it blew my mind, and that's why I was debating on whether or not I should blog about it at all, because I didn't want to have anything to do with it, except for the fact that this ritual murder was directly linked to my ritual murder last year, so kind of makes it hard for me to talk about. Well, Tila, we wouldn't want to expose an entire criminal network of ritualistic Satanists, because it's hard for you to talk about. No, I'm just fucking around. I rarely ask the listeners for anything, but I'd really like everyone to message Tila Tequila and tell her she has to come on this show. I've been trying, but she hasn't responded. In music news, people may have heard of the Lost Prophets and their frontman Ian Watkins. Well, he has now admitted to charges, 11 charges actually, including attempts to rape a baby, conspiring to rape another baby, and making child pornography. Watkins is on trial in Wales, along with two female fans who the court was told sexually abused their own children upon the rocker's request. Police investigating Watkins reportedly found many of the horrific encounters, including the attempted rape, were recorded on a disc. Watkins said that he could not remember committing the acts, according to The Guardian, but the court was told that he likely could have been high at the time. The singer is a cocaine and crystal meth user and discussed forcing his victims to use drugs as well. So I wonder if this is an isolated incident or a peek behind the curtain of a vast network of child trafficking within the shadows of the entertainment and political classes. The distraction classes. Keep the people focused on you and we'll let you rape some kids. In fact, we demand that you do it, so we can then blackmail you into doing anything we want forever. Maybe Ian Watkins has nothing to lose now and wouldn't mind talking about the dark underworld of child trafficking in these elite classes. Maybe we should get him too. And in Fuck the Police news, a witness says he heard the sarcastic final words of a Texas student moments before he was shot dead by a college police officer. Robert Reedus, 23 years old, was killed when Corporal Chris Carter opened fire on him in the early hours of Friday morning, a few blocks away from the University of the Incarnate Word in San Antonio, where Reedus studied, set to graduate in May. Neighbor Mohammed Hadaris told My San Antonio that he heard a tense exchange between Reedus and Carter 60 seconds before shots rang out. He told the website, "I heard a man say, 'Oh, you're going to shoot me?' Like sarcastic almost." The 22-year-old claims he heard gunshots less than a minute later and jumped into his closet, naturally. Investigators say that an altercation began when Carter tried to pull Reedus over for speeding and driving erratically. It is not clear where Carter first tried to pull over Reedus, but they both ended up in the parking lot of the Treehouse Apartments. A witness who lives in the Treehouse Apartments described hearing 5 or 6 gunshots, but no verbal warnings. I didn't hear him say anything like, "Get down, get on your hands, get on your knees," you know? I didn't hear him say anything. He just started shooting. He emptied the gun on him, he said. Boom, boom, boom. When are we going to acknowledge nationwide that police are more trigger-happy than ever, and it's a goddamn problem, and we need to do something about it? But there's your enlightening and inspiring news of the week. Now we're going to move on to my interview with James Gilliland. Enjoy. Okay, people, strap in for another wild ride. We hear stories of beings in the inner earth and higher dimensions, but to the uninitiated, they're only stories. Lucky for us, we have a man who's no stranger to UFO contact, ET communication, and higher dimensional travel. James Gilliland founded the E-SETI Ranch in Trout Lake, Washington, where enlightened contact with extraterrestrial beings is an almost daily occurrence. He's also a teacher and facilitator of many Eastern disciplines and is considered a visionary dedicated to the awakening and healing of humanity and the Earth itself. He's the Duncan Trussell of ufology, and I'm super happy to have him here. James, welcome to THC.
Oh, glad to be on the show.
Yeah, man, I am so pumped for this. Lots of interesting things I want to ask you about. And I don't want to just rehash the same questions you get asked all the time, but we really have to start with E-SETI. Ever since I've heard about it, I've just wanted to go because I'm looking for that personal validation. So for the people who aren't familiar with the ranch, what can you tell us about it?
Well, it was founded in 1986 and basically on a vision where I kept seeing a beautiful mountain in front of me, a big mountain, and then a river and just a beautiful piece of property. But I kept seeing the words Little Mountain in the vision. It didn't make sense. And there was a small mountain at the backside of the ranch if you look towards the south. So it was really interesting that when I found the ranch, actually it ended up being on Little Mountain Road. So I didn't know why they kept giving me that message. But I wanted to give a little heads up. I am down in Mexico. And so it's the loud country.
I was just going to say, I'm hearing some kind of animal, a dog or something.
Yeah. So you might hear that in the background.
Okay.
But, hopefully it'll calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little chihuahua.
That's fitting for Mexico.
Yeah. But anyway, basically it came from visions, and I had a near-death experience that blew me wide open and drowned and crossed over. And when I came back, I left the door open, so I have what would be like an interdimensional mind.
And, wow, man.
And so I can go back and forth, you know, between the dimensions and experience the different beings on those dimensions.
Yeah, see, that type of insight is super valuable, and I'd like to extract as much as I can from that. But as far as eSETI is concerned, for people who aren't familiar, I mean, that is a you've built this ranch near Mount Adams in Washington, Trout Lake, and you see orbs and UFOs all the time at this ranch, correct?
Yeah, it's an ongoing thing. We have some. A lot of scientists come out and bring their equipment. We have all kinds of, you know, third-generation military equipment, night gear, hooked up to cameras and hooked up to all kinds of things. So it's something that's just basically ongoing, and it never, you know, it hasn't stopped. I might have to move this location or...
Yeah, man. Is there a quieter spot or a door or window you can close or anything like that?
Unfortunately, not with this one because I'm out on a patio and that's available. But well, it'll probably calm down here.
Yeah, they usually do. So that is kind of crazy, though. You being in Mexico, living in America and seeing the matrix that we're victims of in the middle class here. I've often thought about going to some other country. How do you feel about Mexico down there? What part are you in? How much do you like it? Do you see the differences?
Well, yeah, definitely. It's you know, funny, people have all these things about fear and you know, all these other things about Mexico. I've been coming down here for probably 8 years now, and I actually feel safer here than I do in the States, because I know in the States they're always looking for me, and they're always, you know, pulling stunts with, you know, black helicopters and satellites and putting up equipment and gear on another mountain, so across from us. So, you know, they're always playing around with psychotronics and you name it. So, you know, here I feel a lot safer down in Mexico than I do with our own government.
That's so funny. It's so backwards probably to a lot of people who are here think that there's no security in Mexico, that it's just the Wild West. But, you know, it's if anybody's going to fuck with me here, it's going to be police. You know, regular people don't bother me. It's always police that are causing trouble in my life.
Yeah, it's true. That's the way. And, you know, it is. It's here. You know, they just don't bother you. Don't bother them. They don't bother you. And if you're not, you know, dealing drugs or doing something, you know, of a nefarious nature, they just pretty much everybody leaves you alone.
Oh, man, that right there is paradise in my eyes.
Yeah.
I just want to be left alone. But anyway, back to eSETI in this Mount Adams area. I mean, it has a long history of UFO activity, right? I mean, some people claim that there's either an ET base in the mountain or there's some type of opening to the inner earth there. What's your opinion?
Yeah, there's all the above. It's basically a stargate. So we have things coming in from the top, and then there's a door that opens up in the mountain itself, and so we get a lot of activity, you know, there, and we've got that on film, actually, this huge light door opening up and ships coming in and out of the doorway. So we have both going on. We have the inner earth connection going on there and the Stargate.
Wow. I actually heard, like, as far as the Stargate's concerned, there's researchers out there that talk about ley lines, and at these certain energy nodes there are some type of natural dimensional gateways. A lot of people suggest that that's what the Bermuda Triangle really is. Is this on some type of ley line or energy node that you know of?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a vortex, and there's two major lines that cross there at the ranch, and there's like an orb highway there that it's just amazing. We go out at night, we can see just, you know, literally thousands of orbs going by, you know, in like a channel of energy.
That's amazing, man. I mean, seeing all these tons of UFOs and crafts and orbs over a long period of time, are there any sightings that really stand out to you from what you normally see there?
Yeah, I would say, boy, I mean, we've had stuff come down and land on the mountain and morph into as many as 3 and 4 ships and then go back to one again.
Wow.
And then do it 3 or 4 times and then take off, and then a military jet chase it. And it just led the jet off, and then it came back, you know, after the jet, you know, chased it off, it just turned around and popped right back on the mountain again and went about its business. So we have, and we actually filmed the whole event. So we have a lot of things like that. I think, you know, when they make a right right angle turn at, you know, several thousand miles an hour, or they come over and they flare up and respond to the people on the ground. You know, that to me is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those videos on your site, and they do look pretty convincing. It's hard because when you're looking through the perspective of a camera, it's not really the same, and some of them look so far off in the distance. And I know that when I've filmed things outside before, usually they look further in the camera than they do actually. But I mean, still, they definitely look like something's going on there. And I've seen the jets scramble and try to chase something, so that's also compelling.
Oh yeah, we had on my birthday. I was meditating, and I asked him, you know, for a birthday present, to just fly over the house, and they did. And they flew over the house and came in treetop level, and then powered the ship up and just lit the whole sky up. So
wow.
Some of these things, we'll have like four or five cameras on them, sometimes two to three cameras, or we'll have as many as 200 people, witnesses to go along with the footage. So, you know, it's hard to deny, especially when you have, you know, triple PhD Boeing engineers and Skunk Works people and Lockheed engineers and Air Force base commanders and pilots, you know, all testifying that, you know, this is a real event.
That is crazy, man. I mean, why do you think this is occurring? What you think, is there's obviously some type of contact, telepathic involved, if you're calling them on your birthday to fly over.
Yeah. Well, we've had, you know, it's a big joke here, but you guys, when's contact going to happen? And we always say, well, where have you been the last 25 years? But contact's been ongoing. It's been going on even before Egyptian times, and it's, you know, well recorded back then, and, you know, in the Mayan times. And so, you know, it's an ongoing thing. It's a matter of rising to the occasion. But if you're going to be brainwashed and wait for the, you know, the officialdom to tell you that it's real and that contact is happening and things like that, then, you know, you're giving your power away. You're missing the boat because everything's external.
Yeah.
And you're waiting for some external authority to tell you it's okay to believe in what you already know is happening, you know. So it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, let's back up a little bit. Can you give us a little history as it pertains to ET contact? I mean, there's a lot of researchers out there that have been talking about this, that this long timeline of intervention, but I hear a lot of different versions of the story, and I'd like to hear your perspective on the story of the Anunnaki and the Archons and how there are still some effects of that history today, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, wow, that's a long one. Yeah, the basically, you know, we've been colonized. You know, there's been colonized for, we have historical artifacts and things that go back 650 million years. And if you want to look up that, just go to, you know, Michael Cremo's work, Forbidden Archaeology.
Yes.
You know, that's all very well documented. But, you know, one of the stories goes back to 450,000 years, which they talk about the Anunnaki who came here. And they brought their own people, the Ijiji, you know, to help mine for gold, because they're creating gold as an aerosol to protect their planet when it swings around the sun, you know. So they were doing a lot of work on that level, and they had a big rebellion. So they took a Neanderthal man, a knuckle dragger, and they jumped his genetics up. And so it was a win-win situation, basically, because the Neanderthal man got a huge leap in consciousness and evolution, and they continued to work with them and continued to upgrade them as they went along, and they got the labor they needed for the gold, you know, to get the gold they needed to save their planet. And so the original Anunnaki were very above board. They operated under universal law. They were highly, you know, spiritual, very, very evolved. And they had a council of 12, which were six men and six women on that council. And when they got what they needed and they left a group of them, of theirs behind. And the problem is with the fallen ones, the group they left behind. They're the ones that screwed everything up, you know, when they left, you know, and they got into power trips and greed. And, you know, they were the original Hatfield and McCoys. It got into all kinds of turf wars and things like that, but there was no council anymore to govern them. So they kind of run amok and fell in consciousness. And we're still dealing with that today, that impact of of you know, wrathful gods and loving creative gods and all these images, the bearded gods, you know, all those images go back to the ancient Anunnaki.
And do you think the global elite of today, the people who run us from the shadows, do you think they have at least taken up the example of these early beings, or do you think that we're still under the control of these same bloodlines from some shadowy place?
Yeah, well, the problem is with the Anunnaki is one particular one named Marduk. He fell. He wanted total control of the earth, and he even went to war against his own people, and he made an alliance with these reptilian beings. And so that is it's just a big mess that's still plaguing us to this day. And that's what the Illuminati, the fallen Illuminati, those groups, that's what they align themselves with, because all they care about is power and wealth and greed and power over others. They don't care about anything else. And that's that consciousness.
Well, you know, I've heard stories of Eisenhower meeting with the Greys and exchanging technology for the ability to abduct a certain percentage of the population. Stories like that, stories that, you know, they are at the higher levels making sacrifices to absorb the energy to these beings. Do you think our government has made these types of deals with certain ETs, or do you think they're just as clueless as the population in modern times?
Oh, no, they've been trading genetics for technology for quite some time, and that's where all the abduction scenario goes into. And some of these low-level beings actually prey on the negativity. They prey on the fear and the pain and the suffering. You know, that's they actually want all the wars, and they want all the, you know, the poverty and the disease and everything else. They actually feed off of that.
Man, you know, I love hearing about stories of higher dimensional beings and positive ETs that can be guiding us from the shadows, and, you know, or beings deep inside the earth that push us towards a more peaceful and harmonious society. But I just haven't gotten enough validation to commit to that idea. I mean, even though I love to hear about it, I just worry that it might be a version of this tendency people have to look for leadership or a savior, because the truth of these negative entities, the truth of how concise this control grid is, it can be really overwhelming to deal with, you know? I mean, what would you say to that?
Well, the good news is there are benevolent beings that are much more evolved, much more powerful, and they have creational energy technology. They're far beyond these dark forces, and their time is up. I mean, they're actually on the highest levels, on the darkest levels, you might say, they're being taken out, and any of the fallen Anunnaki are actually being called before the council, because the benevolent council is back. They just returned. And you're seeing a huge unraveling now of the powers that were, you know, from the top down. And the Illuminati are doing their ceremonies, and there's nobody there, you know. And they're calling on guidance now. And you see, that's why they're floundering and making so many mistakes and making so many screw-ups, is because they don't have the connections anymore, the contacts, because they're being removed from the top down.
Is there anything that shows through in the mainstream that, you know, points to that?
Well, yeah, you can see a lot of the old program is totally unraveling. You can see it, you know, with the banksters, with everything else. It's reached its apex of greed, you know, and it just can't go any further. And there's no foundation for it anymore. There's nothing to feed this massive pyramid they've created. So it's just a matter of time before that collapses in on itself. So that's going to implode. All those power structures, the mega corporations, are imploding. People are waking up. You know, you can see like Monsatan, you know, or Monsanto, really getting hammered right now from every angle. And I've been helping with that. Actually, I've been helping some people that are actually writing legislation and getting it out there and supporting that, you know, especially in Hawaii with some council. Margaret Willie is one of them that wrote this legislation. It's beginning to put a slowdown on all this stuff. So, you know, it's you know, people are waking up. They're being educated because of shows like this. And people are starting to rise up and just say, enough's enough. But the reason people are awakening and rising is because the old grid, the old consciousness grid is imploding, it's falling apart. And there's a new fifth dimensional grid pressing in hard and taking its place.
And when you say fifth dimensional grid, do you, like, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about raising their vibration or resonating at a higher frequency through mm-hmm. meditation and through some of these Eastern practices. Is this something you wouldn't recognize unless you were well in tuned?
Well, there's a multi-level event going on. So you'll see on a base foundational one, you'll see things getting exposed almost immediately. You'll see almost like instant karma happening, like the action-reaction principle is being accelerated. You'll see a lot of relationship stuff where there's a lot of tyranny going on, a lot of control issues coming up. But, you know, the old wounds and traumas of the past are all surfacing, you know, to be healed. And there's waves of energy that are coming through and doing that. And we just went through a huge wave of energy right after Thanksgiving. And we're in the middle of it right now. And I know my phone and emails are just off the scale with people saying, what is happening? Like, everything is coming up for me and my relationship and my work. And it's getting crazy out there. And people are just having, you know, emotional outbursts and, everything from deep sadness to, you know, anger and a lot of people projecting their issues rather than owning and healing them. So I see it on a very base level, just through, you know, the emails and the phone and people asking for counseling, for help to get through these times.
I mean, I will be honest with you. I have noticed an increased amount of synchronicities in the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 months in my life. But I still struggle with how much value to give that.
Well, yeah, it's. I can just go from my own experience and having this pretty massive network that I'm connected into and doing counseling for like 35 years or so. I'm just watching the uptick, and I know a lot of people that are extremely sensitive people that I trust. You know, they've been very active in the past, and they're all coming up with the same information. And I just got back from the Star Knowledge Conference, and we met with a lot of the elders there of the different nations, you know, in the States, and that was pretty amazing. And they came up with the exact same information that we came up with, that, you know, that would be a huge shift of energy coming in right after Thanksgiving and another one right after Christmas, that it's going to really push everything up for people. And a lot of people, if you're very dense in consciousness and you're holding on to a lot of aggression or control or energies, you know, or you've been deeply wounded, all of that is surfacing right now.
Yeah. Man, I would want nothing more than a real awakening to take place. I really hope that that's what we're going through.
Yeah, it's unavoidable. It's you know, the old saying, resistance is futile. It's the Earth's destiny to go there, and we have to become frequency specific to the Earth's, you know, evolutionary process. And it's a, you know, a cosmic event. All the dimensions are involved in it. So it's unavoidable. There's nothing that can stop it. We can just choose how gracefully we move through it.
Yeah. I wanted to step back to this council. You said that they had just returned, that they are, you know, the archons are being forced to go before this council. Is this something that's happening on a higher dimensional level, or is this playing out on our third dimensional reality?
Well, most of it's happening on another dimension, but a lot of that's the sixth, you know. These are sixth dimensional beings that are coming in. So, but it is bleeding down, you know, and they're actually pulling these people off the fourth dimension and cleaning up the fourth dimension. That's where all the, a lot of the negativity resides, you know, in the unseen. And a lot of people are stepping up to the plate and learning how to heal unseen negative influences and not give them any more energy and not participate, you know, in the negativity. So it is building, you know,
mm-hmm.
It is building up.
You know, I really have not been able to have very many experiences with meditation or anything like that, but I've had a small handful of experiences that were fueled by psychedelics that seemed very much like contact experiences. I mean, what are your thoughts on using psychedelics that way?
Well, you know, we try to avoid any of that. Like, I never used it myself. I didn't need to because of the drowning experiences.
Right.
I know a lot of people have experiences like through ayahuasca, and you know, some people are doing it the right way with a trained shaman, you know, out in the jungle once or twice a year, but other people are just using it as a party tool, you know.
Right. Yeah. That's no good.
And they open up doors and they get, you know, reptilian and greys and other, you know, discarnate beings hooked into their energy field. So, I know there's safe, natural ways of doing it, and you go much higher than, you know, you don't just go into the fourth dimension and have all these crazy, snakes and other beings and weird things happen to you. You get into the higher dimensions, and there you're dealing with beings that are much more benevolent and much more advanced.
And what are some other techniques you would suggest for someone who wants to reach that type of natural communication other than, I mean, the generic meditation is what everyone says. Is there anything else?
Well, we do practices like Yigong that are extremely ancient practices that balance out the left and right side of the brain and get you into no mind, where you're not just using your mind all the time, and get you back into the heart, because the soul resides right next to the heart, and that's the connector to spirit. And that's where all your past lives, everything reside, your memories, you know, in the astral level. And you can go beyond that into the etheric or into what people call Christ consciousness. And there's levels beyond that even that you can connect into.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. I think a lot of people are really interested in trying to achieve those states, but it seems like a daunting task that requires a lot of work, a lot of inner work.
Yeah, the whole program here, the Archon Network, is programmed to keep you external. And so if you're watching TV and listening to radio all the time, and if you're, you know, just have all kinds of crazy lyrics blasting through your head constantly, and you know, you're programmed that, you know, if you buy the right beer and drive the right car and get the big house and all these other things, you're going to get the women, you're going to get, you know, get laid, basically. So they've got you programmed, and they own the first three chakras, which are survival, sex, and power. And we're getting blasted with all this information. You should be very scared, you know, there's terrorists, you know, that's in your survival energies, you know. And then they say, oh, If you buy this product, you know, you're going to get the blonde on the beach, you know, playing volleyball, you know, or if you get this. And so they're, you know, you're going to be powerful, you know, if you make more money, you know, and things like that. And so they own that network. And until you transcend that and get into the heart, that's when you get out of the Archon Network. So and you do that through nature. You get out in nature and do some alone time out in nature, and you allow yourself to reset and reprogram. But there are a lot of retreat centers you can go to and break free of the network, and, you know, break free of the first three chakras, which is what they govern people with. They manipulate people through, you know, survival, sex, and power.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I've heard many times that the biggest purpose of their network is just that distraction, to keep us infatuated with the third dimensional material world, to keep us from realizing our true self, because that's apparently where the real power is.
It is. And, you know, and if they can keep you offset and extremely busy and with your nose to the grindstone, you know, keeping you poor, so you have to keep, you know, working so you don't have any quiet time or time in nature, you know, that is that whole program, is just to keep you focused on everything external, and then you don't do any internal process, and that's where the real power is when you start going internal.
Now, another subject I kind of wanted to get into the details of, and that's kind of, you know, the multitude of beings that people claim to be communicating with and receiving messages from. I think, you know, there seems to be so many different beings. The best way to probably do it is by levels. I mean, you've mentioned third, fourth, fifth, and so on, dimensional beings and species. Apparently, they seem to be very different. Can you walk us through some of these entities? Are, like, the grays on the lowest level?
Well, the problem with channeling, I even wrote a book about this in Reunion with Source, and I talked about safeguards for pure channeling. And we were doing this back in the 70s, you know, channeling. And I stepped away from it because it started getting so convoluted, and people's own egos were part of the channeling messages, and their own desires were in there, and some people were channeling from the lower astral levels, where you do have the grays and the reptilian and discarnate spirits, and some people were channeling their own subconscious, you know, and they weren't really, they didn't go through enough training to access the higher consciousness and energy levels, and also they were didn't know how to heal unseen negative influences, which is a must. That's the first thing we teach before even meditating, is how to clear your space and maintain your own self-authority. Mm-hmm. So that got so convoluted, and it's still convoluted, you know, today as we speak. And, you know, I hear people giving these feel-good messages, and all they do is talk about the positive, hey, nothing to worry about. You know, max out your credit card. We're going to get beamed up next week. Or, you know, your package is in the mail. You're going to be funded next week with multi-billion dollars. And it's, again, you're back into the external. You're waiting for some external savior, you know, to come and take care of things. And it's totally contrary to what the higher dimensional beings, you know, teach and how they operate. Because their whole program is to empower people to make their own personal, you know, God, creator, spirit connection, and take responsibility for their choices and actions, and move from that space.
Interesting. So, I mean, as far as these beings are concerned, people describe physical characteristics of them. I mean, I've heard you talk about feline beings before.
Yeah, they can drop their frequencies down and actually walk right alongside of you. Many of them have that technology. A lot of them are just out of phase with the Earth's frequency, but they can phase into it. And some can do it spiritually, and some can do it through technology. So there's a lot going on, but the vast majority of it is really other dimensional, which I find it odd with a lot of the scientists nowadays. They're demanding physical proof of non-physical events, and they know there's at least 11 dimensions out there, you know, filled with possibilities in life, but they want physical proof, you know, 3D proof of non-physical events, and maybe 4D, 5D, 6D, 7D on, 8th, 9th D, maybe 9th
right.
dimension. So it's until science stops this backwards, self-defeating approach. You know, they said there's no physical proof. Of course there isn't. They're non-physical events. And so we have to rise to the occasion and develop ourselves spiritually so we do have a multidimensional awareness or mind. And then we can understand these things and become educated in these higher dimensional experiences. But with the old paradigm, you know, of I want, you know, nuts and bolts on ships that don't even use nuts and bolts. A lot of them are actually organic and alive, you know, is a little crazy.
Yeah, I guess it does make it hard to define them as species and races. You know, when you're talking about beings that are, you know, and their highest self way beyond a third dimensional shell. But mm-hmm. For some more details on these entities, like maybe where are they from? Are they from a certain location in this third dimension, from a different planet or sector of the universe?
A lot of them are, and a lot of them just tell us we have no reference points whatsoever. Like I had a ninth dimensional being come in, and I asked him where he was from, and he said there's no point because you have no reference points, you know, and the name you've never heard before, so it's really irrelevant. But a lot of them do. A lot of them, you know, they'll come from the Pleiades system. They'll come from the Orion Council of Light, from the Orion system. And some are coming from 3 and 4D and 5D, but they're still in that system. You know, there's some coming from Sirius, the feline beings, and ancient Lyra. They're coming from a lot of different places that we would have a reference point too, but they would actually be in a different time or a different dimension than we're used to. And so it gets tricky. A lot of times when you ask somebody where they're from, it's almost better to say, when are you from, you know?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this then. What are some of the characteristics of, say, a ninth dimensional being that separate it and make it distinguishably different from a sixth or seventh?
Well, let's say... it's my understanding that the dimensions, when you get into the fifth dimension, you're beyond the the polarities. I mean, there's still duality, or there's still male, female, and things like that. But you've transcended all religious and cultural boundaries, and you see the Creator in all creation, and you're working, you know, on that level. You know, you're working mm-hmm. on a much higher level. It's funny. I'm sitting here talking right now, and this huge beetle is headed towards me, and you know, we're talking about the Egyptians. You know, and I'm wondering if that's
scarab.
Not yeah. That's, almost looks like one of those. It looks like one of those old scarabs, you know.
But that's that universal synchronicity.
Yeah, I'm sending him back outside, though. And but anyway, thanks for the message, and have a nice life.
We got it.
It's interesting. Now, if you go back to the felines, a good example is they were here, and the Earth used to be have some really advanced civilizations on them, and it was their resonant at a much higher dimension, and they fell. And we see in ancient India, they call them Narissa, you know, would be sitting there, this huge humanoid lion being that is the protector of Lakshmi and all the other gods and things like that. In Egypt, they had Sekhmet and Bast and a lot of other ones, and they're walking right alongside the Anunnaki. You know, they were protectors of the gods. And again, the Anunnaki, the bearded god, is where we got that image, you know, of the bearded god. So these beings are still around. They still exist. They're just on a different dimension. And if you're of the right frequency and you can actually experience them, if you raise your frequency, you can go up and down on the vibrational continuum, which I can do mainly because of my death experience. I had a couple near-death experiences and the drowning. I left the door open. I went to the source itself into this golden plane of bliss and you know, went through all the dimensions to get there. And now I seem to have the door open. I can go back and forth and experience these different types of beings and actually interface and interact with them.
Wow, man. That's trippy. That's such an experience. Let me ask you about the Earth itself. I mean, do you think that we're unique here, or are there millions of Earths dealing with this extraterrestrial tapestry?
Probably billions out there. I know that the latest research is they're getting up and beyond the millions, probably into the billions, when they're finding planets now in Goldilocks orbits. So, you know, we just couldn't see them. We're seeing stars, but we're not seeing the planets revolving around the stars. But now with the new Kepler and some of these other infrared telescopes, we're starting to map out, you know, all the planets around the stars, which is pretty amazing. But it's happening everywhere. There's beings that are billions of years ahead of us in evolution, and there's some that are catching up to us.
What do you think the point is of manifesting here? Is it to experience third dimensional reality, or is this like an evolution along the path that we're trying to reach a higher level, or are we coming down from a higher level to experience mm-hmm. third dimension?
Well, we all started with the source. And so, you know, the Big Bang was more of an inward implosion of consciousness, which created the light beings, you know, which created the suns, which created the planets, which created and it goes on and on and on. So a lot of people, you know, have a hard time realizing that they maybe used to be an Andromedan, you know, which are magnetized light beings that are 8 to 10 foot tall beings with huge energies, like a magnet emanating from them. And people mythologically call them archangels because it looks like wings, but it's just the energy fields around them. And they actually went all the way down through the physical and back. And we're in that process as well. So we all originated from the source and dropped down through the dimensions. And now we're mastering the biggest test of all, which is, you know, powerful emotions and free will, which you need to be a creator. You know, you can't create without those things. And so if you're going to go back to that phase, you know, that's what you need to do, you know, to return to the source, you know, with that under your belt. A lot of the angelic energies don't have free will. They're just like wisps of light. And they just kind of are more like Autobots. They just do whatever they're told to do, you might say, or whatever their hardware, you know, is guided to do by other dimensional beings. So it's kind of like a this is master school. This is the biggest challenge of all. They call it the plane of demonstration, where consciousness creates reality, and we get to walk through our creations and experience them in the physical.
Man, you know, for people who are stuck in the 9-to-5 rut, playing the game of economics and capitalism, I mean, how a lot of people, I think, are doing that on a daily basis, but in their off time, they're listening to people like you and they're wanting to step outside of it. But it's, you know, it's very tough. I mean, how do you feel about things like manifesting your reality? Like, can we free ourselves by, will the universe help unfold a path before us to get us out of such a rut if we're in the right mental space?
You know, it will, but we have to look at, you know, there's a lot of people say, you know, I just think it so it is, you know, and I create my own reality and things like that. You know, and a lot of the movies, I can't remember that movie. What was that movie?
Well, there's The Secret.
The Secret, yeah. Well, the Secret left out the biggest secret of all, and that is if you're filled with wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences and fear and guilt and unworthiness, you're not going to manifest squat diddly, because actually what you are going to manifest is everything that is in the way of what you're trying to manifest, you know, all the guilt and unworthiness and other things when you start that process. So it's real important that we clean up our past, you know, release the past and release all this, you know, wrong conclusions, limiting mental concepts, wounds and traumas, you know, and then we do start creating, we do start manifesting, and the synchronicities start flowing, you know, the closer we are in touch with who we really are, and we drop the program that you were talking about, you know, where people are just in the mainstream and, you know, working all day within for some corporation and coming home and popping on the TV and getting a beer and a pizza and going to bed and doing the same thing over again. But that world is not, yeah, you could probably manifest a material existence, you know, that is keeping you along, but spiritually it's actually locking you into something that's not really in the highest and best good of your evolution.
Yeah, I mean, I totally see where you're coming from. I've heard people come on this show and tell me, oh, you know, if you have positive thoughts, and, you know, and you want to get out of that network, the universe is going to unfold a path for you if you just have the confidence and the trust in the universe. And, you know, when they've needed money, money manifests. When they've needed a place to stay comes to fruition. But there's a lot of fear in just diving into such a situation like that, because, you know, our network is structured in such a way that if you fail, it's really hard to get back even to where you were.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the Archon network. It's a very enslaving, disempowering network, and that's what it's designed to do, is to hold you, you know, in a certain space. And you might get ahead a little bit, you know, and you're doing okay, and then whack, you know, something comes along, and then you're starting over again. And if you really look at the way the system's set up, it really isn't set up for people to become really totally abundant, because when you reach a certain level, you know, they come in and fleece all the sheep, you know, and pull the rug out from under you. So that's part of the power elites program, you know, is the American dream, which is really a nightmare when you get down to it.
Well said, man. I mean, I totally agree with you. I think that it's kind of run in this a similar fashion to a casino, where you've got thousands of people coming in and you've got these pictures on the wall plastered of John, who got the big check, you know, Marie won $100,000 last year and a car, but yet not everybody's winning that, of course, you know, they're not building those places by giving money away. And I think capitalism in our system is kind of similar in that we're shown these Warren Buffetts and these Rupert Murdochs, and we're like, hey, you know, you can be just like them. And it's like, no, only a couple of people can be like that. You are not going to get there. You
know? Yeah, not on this pyramid, not the way it's set up. But it is, it's a big scam. It's a pyramid scheme, you know, and people will claw, you know, and step on the backs of their friends and family and everything to, you know, for those little white or little green pieces of paper, you know. So it's sad, you know, the what's created. And you look at our system we're watching today. I went out to dinner here while I was down in Mexico, and they had all these TV sets up on the wall, and everybody's watching football and screaming and yelling and going, get him, nail him, you know, and stuff like this. And I'm going, God, this is like gladiator days.
Right.
You know?
Colosseum.
And I was talking to this guy, and I said, you ever think about what's really going on here? He goes, what do you mean? I go, well, okay, so you got these huge grown men dressing up in tights, trying to inflict as much damage as possible on the other guys over control of a dead animal skin. And, you know, they go, I never thought about it that way. And then they just went right back. Oh, did you see that? You know, you see that catch, you know,
right.
And everything. And I said, I go, this is just a big diversion. You know, this is competition. This is like warring, you know, this is just war on a lower level. You know, they aren't pulling guns out. They're using their bodies as weapons, you know, and it's over control of resources, which is this dead animal skin, which really isn't a resource at all. So they're getting people to just trash themselves, their body, trash each other, inflict pain and suffering on each other over a fictitious prize, you know,
yeah.
At the end. What's the difference? You know, it's the same program.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. Just another distraction. I've never understood sports. It seems super silly. Like, whenever I meet someone new, one of the first things that gets brought up is, you know, what sports do you like? And I'm like, I don't like any sports. You know, nobody watches me go to work. I'm not going to go watch them. And I don't understand team loyalty. I don't understand how you can like one group of random people better than another group of random people, maybe just because they're from the city you're from. And most of them aren't even from that city. They're brought in on contracts to play for that team. It's all just random bullshit. It really is a sad distraction. If there was only 10% of the attention paid to sports to some of the problems we have, I'm sure things would be a lot better for everybody involved.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was looking at some of these things, and I was talking about this guy's going, oh, yeah, they're going to send this probe. They just sent these two probes to the moon, you know, or something, and they're they have a couple more probes going to Mars, and I think China's sending a probe to the moon and these things. And I'm just going, okay, so I go, you know, what's up? What's up with that?
Yeah, it's like sending probes to Mars isn't interesting when the Cowboys are playing the Rams on Sunday. Who gives a shit about the moon? We got the Cowboys playing the Rams.
Exactly.
It really is. I mean, if there's any case to be made for sorcery, to me, it's that, because I don't understand such passion for such trivial shit. But, you know, one other thing I really wanted to talk to you about was this idea of the inner Earth. You know, there's so many people who have different perspectives on what that could be like. I mean, when it comes to these beings that are coming out of Mount Adams, I mean, do you think inside there, are we talking about some deep caves, or do you think the Earth is hollow with people walking on the opposite side of the Earth's crust, like I've heard some people talk about?
Well, it's kind of interesting what's going on there, because I've gone there out of body and had experiences, and there's a whole civilizations going on there, you know, in the fourth and fifth and sixth dimension. And believe it or not, there are some of the mythological animals that we thought, you know, didn't exist, are still existing and preserved in on the inner Earth. And
really?
And the ancient Atlanteans and Lemurians that were caught in the disasters actually went into the interior to some of these huge underground facilities that were already there and have been there, you know, for quite some time. So basically, you know, it's something that's been around in all the ancient legends. People know about it. It's been around for a long time. And you know, people go, well, why don't they come out on the surface? And I said, well, because we're really aggressive and we're totally misusing technology. And all we care about is power over others and using technology to harm and control and dominate. And why would they come out? And it's the same thing with the UFOs. They said, why don't they land on the White House lawn? Well, look at the condition of our government, you know, and there's no real intelligent life there. I mean, Congress has a 6% approval rate right now. You know, where's the integrity levels that it would take and the spiritual advancement to really even understand who they are and have a contact with them? It's just not present there.
Well, what kind of gets me about the idea of the inner Earth beings is I feel like if they were technologically advanced and they were spiritually advanced, it would be very hard for them to not experience sunlight and nature and the connection to the earth. I feel like that is why they would retreat outward.
Well, you know, it's interesting because most advanced races actually live on their interior because the surface can be very...
hostile?
Yeah, very hostile on a lot of environments, you know, because you look at what's going on our surface, you know, with the tornadoes and with the coronal mass ejections and the solar flares and you know, just that alone and the earthquakes and everything else that are happening, you know, the floods, the constant flooding and freezing and everything else. If you had an inner sun, you know, or a way to regulate that, and your weather's constantly 70 degrees and, you know, your food production is constant, you know, everything else is constant, you know, it'd be like a little utopia there. So I could see why they wouldn't want to come out and deal with that. You know, and I apply that to my own life. You know, right now when I left up there in Trout Lake, it was 10 degrees, you know, so, mm-hmm. and snow started to fall up there too. So it's like, you know, what's the point? You know, the ranch is closed, you know, we can't really operate or do anything there. So we might as well, you know, I might as well come down to a place where I can still engage and help people. And I do a lot of work down here with the Weechels and some of the other Native American, the Indians down here, basically, not Native American, but the Mexican Indians. And mm-hmm. and I do lectures and things, and the money goes to the villages, you know, to help them feed, you know, stay fed and things like that.
Awesome, man. Well, I also, before, we're getting kind of close to the end here, but I wanted to ask you, are there any other messages that you've been given from these contact experiences that would really be worth relaying to the people?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the main message they've been given is that it's time to release the past. You know, it's time to get back into, you know, forgiving the past and moving forward and focus on love and joy and bliss, you know, until you become it. Get out in nature. And the main thing they keep saying is the same thing that all the masters have been saying, is it's time to be kind and loving to each other. and nowadays, it's especially important to set boundaries with those who are not being kind and loving and stand in your own divinity, you know, stand tall in this situation. And it is time to you know, operate under universal law and maybe remind those who are not to get back with the program.
It's kind of funny because on one hand, I'm like, oh, be kind to each other, be loving to each other. That's it. But then on the other hand, it's like we've been getting that message for centuries and we have yet to take that advice.
Exactly. Well, I mean, if you take any enlightened master on this planet and put them on a ship, that's pretty much what you have with these higher dimensional beings. They're extremely loving and kind. They're very concerned about the earth and humanity and where we're going, and they're doing all they can to get us through some very challenging times. So, you know, obviously they would give us the same message, but, you know, they're also giving us a heads up that there is a huge vibrational lifting going on, a process. The earth is in what they call an ascension process and actually going into a different phase of her evolutionary process. And so we need to become frequency specific to where the earth is going if we're going to stay here. And if we don't start acting kind and loving to each other in our environment, we just aren't going to be here. It's those, the people that are resonating on that level are not going to be here. They're not going to make the shift.
Well, I mean, that begs the question. You know, I listen to a lot of similar teachers, a lot of Alan Watts kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of guests that talk about energy and the vibrations and the higher consciousness. And I understand what they're saying. And I'm generally a good person. I'm really open-minded, willing to accept most possibilities. But the mm-hmm. energetic stuff and the higher consciousness, it just doesn't seem to do anything for me in a physical way. I mean, what can someone in my position, which I think a lot of the listeners are, I mean, are there any other tips you can give us for how to really feel that energy, man?
You know, I think just be open to it. But, you know, what we do here, we do transpersonal release sessions here where we actually take people through past lives and clear any blocks or patterns, and from age one on and clear any trauma or blocks and patterns. And at the end, they're given an initiation by these higher dimensional beings. And it's a huge life changer for them.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that we do to help that process. But
how can someone sign up for that?
Just give us a, send us an email. Just go to the site, you know, eseti.org, and shoot us an email and tell them you want a transpersonal release process, you know, a lot of these techniques and methods are in the books, Reunion with Source and Becoming Gods and The Ultimate Soul Journey. You know, all the information is there.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as DVDs, we have teachers and healers from around the world, the best of the best coming to the ranch and are actually have given their information to help people. So it's there if you want to do the research. And we got to do the time and just get out in nature and start asking. You know, if you meditate on love and joy and bliss and send it out there and just say, I want to know, I want to have an experience, and you do it on a regular basis, you are going to have an experience and knowledge is going to come to you. It might turn you upside down for a little while, but you will have an experience eventually.
That's awesome, man. Well, James, this has been completely fascinating. I, for one, really want to take an excursion to try to find one of those inner earth cities, or I'd love to come out to the ranch and record an episode with some type of transpersonal release process. I'm super interested in that. When spring comes around, do you open up the eSETI ranch again?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We'll be open again, and just have to give us you can call the number there on the website. It's 509-395-2092, or just go to eSETI.org. And all the information is there. And people that do come to the ranch, they have life-changing experiences, and they kind of leave in awe, you know, like what just happened, you know, and then they have to process it. So
that's
quite interesting.
So it's not totally open to the public, right?
Well, people just need to ask. They need to ask for an invite because it is a private ranch. We had to go totally private due to some of the legalities and problems we're having with the county, but now it's a totally private, and you just have to ask for a private invitation to come out to the ranch.
Awesome, man. Cool. Well, hey, I really appreciate your time. I know it hasn't been easy getting to a strong internet connection there in your spot in Mexico. Thanks for sharing your perspective with us. It's been a real blast. Are there any big upcoming events or maybe other projects or websites you'd like to tell people about before I cut you loose?
Not really. We're just we're kind of chilling out until spring, and then we're going to go at it hot and heavy then.
That is an amazing luxury to just be able to take off some time.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, James. Tell the ETs I am ready to accept them and am waiting the big reveal. All right, man?
All right. Careful what you ask for.
Thanks, man.
All right. Take care.
Wow, people. James Gilliland. I, for one, definitely want to head up to the eSETI Ranch in the summer and see what's going on. That's it for me. I wish you the best in the multidimensional battle for your consciousness. Please share the show if you find it to your liking. You're all great. May your vacations be long and your pimp hands be strong. Brace yourself for the awakening, people. That's our show. Your move, Archons. Your fucking move.
was fun.
I love show business.